Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Dennis. I'm one of the pastors here. We haven't met yet. I want to just say good morning to you. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad we made it today. Although I have to admit, at about 10 o'clock, I was hoping the lights didn't come back on. I'm serious. I remember in Portland when we used to get snow or anything close to snow, they would shut down everything, including church. And most people were okay not going to church on a Sunday morning. It was a morning to sleep in. But the pastors did the little happy dance, you know. It's just like, hey, we finally got a Sunday off that nobody's going to count against us. And this morning, honestly, I was just like, okay, I'd be fine if we didn't have church today. I was really wrestling with what to share this morning. Although it's fall kickoff, it seems obvious we share what we're going to be doing this year and things. But I was struggling in how to do that. Not so much what to say, but how to say it. And, you know, God, I was praying this morning that the Lord would just shape me, let me get out of the way. And I don't say that in false humility. I really was just struggling. I was literally sitting here while they were practicing this morning the songs, and my arms were shaking because I was just going, God, what? You know, how? Which way? I've got all these notes, but which way to go about it? And I was really struggling. And then the power went out. And then, thank you. God didn't even like what I had in the notes, you know? But I want to share with you where we are going this year, and I want to do it out of a sincere heart to say that my desire is that we just continue to grow as God wants us to grow. It was good to listen to the ministries talk about their kickoffs and to talk about all the things that are happening. And for everything that was mentioned, there's lots of things that weren't mentioned. There's lots of things that are happening behind the scenes, a lot of life together, a lot of ministry together that is happening. And we see that formally, informally. We see that haphazardly. We see that intentionally. We see a lot of people caring for people. And that is honestly a huge blessing. And what I would say is, while we're not perfect in it, and there are people who fall through the cracks, and we strive to close those cracks wherever we can, the blessing that I think we have is that we are truly a group of caring people who are trying to care for one another, once again, imperfectly. I wrote down blessings as we were singing there because I wanted to share about the blessings. And then sat back down, I grabbed my pen and I wrote silent blessings. I think so many of the blessings that we see are silent. So many of the blessings that I acknowledge here are things that maybe you don't get to see because you don't have all the interaction with some of the people that I do. But I want you to be assured of the fact that the Spirit of God is alive and well in our community of Leduc Fellowship Church. It's alive and well in our greater community of Leduc and district, and God is doing some amazing things. And I appreciate the heart of all of you who care for one another, who struggle to do so, but do so. And I just want to say thank you for that. We are amazed to see the growth that God is allowing us to see in so many ways. And, you know, honestly, I say this a lot, but I don't quite often get back to the children's ministry space on a Sunday morning. But when I do, sometimes we have a baptism, I kind of go back that way to come back in. It's an amazingly planned, intentionally driven zoo back there. And I think Joanne and all of her workers, and many of you in this room serve wholeheartedly. She has over 100, I think, 100 volunteers back there in children's ministry throughout the year. And those kids are growing. I thank you to Pastor Dustin and his youth volunteers for the youth ministry and what's happening there and reaching out into our community and caring for our high school and junior high students. I thank you to the team, Matt, Sharia, Andrew, and all of them. Who did I miss? Rudy, and everybody in the young adults group, because really it is one big team of leadership. They care for one another. I thank you for young families that are caring for one another. I thank you for empty nesters that are caring for one another. I thank you, seniors that care for one another. And I tell you, that seniors' luncheon is a great place to go. It's good food, for one thing. So I told somebody this morning, too, if you got an ailment, you go there. You tell them what it is. They'll tell you how to fix it, what drug you need to be taking, what doctor to see, what website to look at. Margaret Turner, thank you for fixing my vertigo. She fixed my vertigo. She told me exactly what to do. Do the maneuver. I've never heard of the vertigo maneuver, but there is, and it fixed my vertigo. So that's just doing life together. We are blessed to care for one another and to strive together to follow Christ as we do it. I'm so amazed often how many people think that the pastor honestly only works a half a day on Sunday. That's when we do our work. That's when we come, we show up at 10:30, the magic happens. We go home at noon, check our our fantasy football league, see how it's doing, and that's what I'll be leaving at noon to do today. But there's so much more. There's so much more that happens behind the scenes. I've shared it before that one person said last year that I was in the teaching of, he said, you know what, every pastor is trying to get over two Sundays, the one he's preparing for and the one he's trying to get over. And that's kind of how people see our life as pastors, that what we do is here for 2 hours on Sunday morning. And while this is hugely important, and this is wonderful to come and worship God and to come and worship together and to be challenged together to grow in community, this is such a small part of what we do. And I have to say, I apologize for the fact that I probably put an inordinate amount of time into this 2 hours on Sunday morning. Sometimes it consumes my time and my thoughts, and it really shouldn't, because it's huge and it's important, but it's not everything. So I thank you to the many volunteers who come on Sunday morning and make this magic happen. But I more importantly, I want us to understand the behind the scenes, the every day that's 24/7, 187, 6 hours a week or whatever there is that ministry happens in. I used to judge myself by all the wrong things, and I've confessed that to you before. This sabbatical last year was good for me to recalibrate around that. And to say, you know, what am I going to judge myself by? What are we as leadership going to judge ourselves by? And there's so many more things than just how well Sunday morning went and how many people actually liked the song set. I honestly don't care. I shouldn't say I do care, but I don't care. If you didn't have the songs you particularly like, that shouldn't shatter your faith. And if it does, you got something to think about. Heard somebody say last year, and this is what God struck me with today, sitting in the front row. He said, you know, this gentleman I read said, if the biggest worry in your life is how well your kickoff's going to go and how wonderful your next sermon series is going to be, you're missing the point of ministry. And while sermon series are important and Sunday kickoffs are important and barbecues are great and fall kickoffs are wonderful, it really, there's so much more of ministry that happens behind the scenes. And his point was that we are and should be driven as leadership to make sure that the consistent walk of faith is provided for every person who desires to walk that faith. That we help people along what Eugene Peterson calls the long obedience in the same direction. Talks about discipleship as being this long obedience in the same direction. It's being obedient to one path of life, following Christ, trying to be like him, and just going this long haul approach to that. And I want us to know that as we continue on into this year, we're not going to wow you with a sermon series. We're going to have some good things that hopefully will challenge you. We may not hit it out of the ballpark every Sunday morning with our sermons or with our worship or whatever. But as long as we're growing together, as long as we're journeying together in discipleship, then I can feel okay with the job that we as leadership have done for our church. And if you come in here and you say, you know, walk out and you say, you know what, I'm thinking about not going back because I didn't like that Sunday, then you know what, come see me. I have a list of churches you might feel more comfortable in. Because honestly, that's not what we're here for. And I don't say that threateningly. I say that just to say, let's get our focus correct. Let's make sure that we are on that long journey together of obedience. It's in the same direction. It's clear what we're supposed to do, and yet it's not always easy. So let's make sure that we're following that step. Let's make sure that we're desiring to be followers of Christ who stumble all over the place and yet have before us very clearly the object of our path, which is Jesus Christ. I want to take you back real quick to last January when I came back and last June when we kicked off kind of the thought for this year. And I just want to review the new scorecard that we say we are living by as a church. The first thing is that we are a church that desires to be about making disciples. And I'm just going to rattle this stuff through because we spent a lot of time talking about it. And most of it's pretty obvious, but I want you to hear it again. Discipleship is about this idea of following Christ, being transformed by Christ, and being on mission with Christ. First and foremost, that's why we as the church exist. To make sure that people can be transformed by Christ and then follow him and then be on mission with him. And the silent blessings that we see all the time are the blessings of people's lives being changed. And I'm telling you, there are lives being changed in this room. There are people hurting for certain, but they're in here because they're desiring to follow Christ. and amazing things are happening in their life. And I can't parade all of them in front of you because some of them are so deep that there'll be years before they'll be able to stand up here and tell you what it's about. And there will be other people that will be able to come and share their testimonies this year. But our desire is that the transforming power of Jesus Christ would be active in the lives of everybody who seeks to follow him and those who don't even know that God wants them to follow him. So we seek to be a church that is about discipleship. The object of our discipleship is the gospel. And we spent a lot of time last year looking into this and this idea of the gospel being imperfect people following or clinging to the perfect Christ, being made perfect by the Holy Spirit, and helping other imperfect people. And that is our disciple, our desire to be disciples who understand the gospel, that this transforming power of the Holy Spirit in our life is very simply the power of Jesus to get a hold of us and transform us from the dirty heart that we have to the clean heart that he desires in replicating him in holiness. So we want to know that it's okay to be imperfect people, but we need to cling to the perfect Christ. We need to allow ourselves the availability of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be perfecting us day by day. And even as we're still imperfect, we turn around and we walk with people who are stumbling in that same path. And that's what the goal is of our discipleship, to walk that road of the gospel. And then the third thing we really spent a lot of time talking about last year, not enough, but some, and I want to spend more time talking about it in the future, is this idea of being gospel storytellers. How do we share with people this hope of the gospel? Well, we do so by our own stories, our own lives. What we need to do is be able to tell people where the gospel, where Christ broke into our life, through the muck and the mire, through the crap and all the pain and suffering and all the struggles and sin and all the selfishness and everything. The power of the Holy Spirit can break through that. We want to be about that, this breaking in of God into our lives and this breaking through of this gospel through the crap of our life, making things better slowly but surely. And then the goal would be that out of that, that the gospel breaks out of our lives, that we are gospel storytellers. We are people who share the hope of the gospel with those who need to hear it. And I want us to be about those three things: discipleship, the gospel, and people who share the gospel. And I think we're making great strides towards that, but we will always have to make better strides towards that. So what's the outcome of these things? If we are following disciples of Christ, if we're seeking after him, being transformed by him, following him on mission with him, and if we're people who believe the gospel and who desire to tell the gospel, the outcome of that is that we are people who are on mission with God. We are like the Blues Brothers. We have a mission from who? God. If you're from Chicago, we're on a mission from God. Our theme for this year is this idea of sent. What we talked about last spring was this idea that we are sent across the room, across the road, and across the world. And I challenged us last year with the fact that God has sent all of us if we are followers of his. It's not a matter of whether you've been called or sent. It's a matter of where and to what you've been sent. And I said last year when we talked about this, or last spring in our Vision Sunday, I said, it's, you know, really the only question we have to ask is not whether we are sent or not, is to where we are sent and whether we are obedient to that. And some of you in this room are being very obedient to that. Some of you are struggling to be obedient to that. Some of you are fighting being obedient to that. And some of you are out and out denying that God has called you to go to be his representation somewhere. And I want us to be challenged by that in this year to come. Our theme passage is John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22. So I want you to hear these verses again. John 20, 19 to 22, or 23. This is after Jesus was resurrected from the tomb on the third day, after meeting with his early followers. This is on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them. Once again, we always draw this point out, right? Doors are locked, but he shows up, walks through the door, walks through the wall. We're not sure, but he shows up. And he stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." And Jesus comes and he sets out this new motion of the redemptive work of, that's been going on for all of eternity, but he continues it on. These followers of Christ had followed him, and they thought this was the guy who was going to turn it all upside down and be the leader, and he ends up on the cross dead in a grave. And then 3 days later, as he said he would, and yet as they forgot he said he would, he rose and he stood among them, showing the scars in his hands and his side and his legs. And he says, "I'm here, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And this is this pattern of God the Father sends Jesus the Son, and God the Father and Jesus the Son send the Holy Spirit. And now as he breathes the power of the Holy Spirit upon them, and as it would come in the day of Pentecost, we see that God the Father sends God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit sends his church to be on mission for him. Now, I want us to be sure and understand that the whole of Scripture is a passages of Scripture, one story that tells of God's redemptive work from Genesis to Revelation. This is not a bunch of little stories. It's not a bunch of different books. It's not a bunch of different authors, which it is those things. It is one redemptive story of God's desire to return things to the way it was supposed to be from the very beginning to the very end. And he is calling us to be a part of that. I challenged you last year, too, to say that the reality is that we always say that we have mission because we read about it in the Bible. We don't have mission because we have a Bible. I've really come to struggle with this, but believe wholeheartedly that we have the Bible because we have mission. That the Bible tells us the redemptive work of God from the beginning till now and on. It talks about how God was a God of mission. It talks about how humanity was created in God's image as a people of mission. How sin came in and messed that up. And how Israel became the people of God, his nation, his holy nation, his priesthood. To be a blessed people, to be a blessing to others. And then Jesus comes, the incarnation. And he is sent to bring the one thing that can provide forgiveness of our sins, his death on the cross, perfect sacrifice for all of our sins. And now we are his sent people, ever since he gave us that order. We are his church to be on mission with him. And it's our job to know him wholeheartedly, to understand that we are his ambassadors. And to be an ambassador and to do it well, you have to know the person you are the ambassador for. You have to have hope in the message that they send. And you have to believe with every ounce of your being who they are. So our job of discipleship is to walk that road of understanding who this God is. To understand this one who asks us to go and be sent on his behalf. The one who says, "Speak as if I'm speaking through you. Open your mouth and let my words come out. And bring about the redemption of all things, my creation, as I desire it to be." That's our road. To figure out how to do that. To walk that road. To, in our imperfection, in our humanness, in our faulting, in our stumbling. To seek after him. To be holy as he is holy. To walk in righteousness as he is righteous. To know that God sees us as he is righteous. And yet we're called to be about the work that he was about. In this year to come, in the years to come, in our continuation of discipleship and this understanding of the gospel and this being gospel storytellers, I hope that's what we steadily walk into. A better understanding of all of this that we're called into. A more deep, rooted belief that God is who God is, and that for some odd reason, he's asked us to be a part of his work. I say it all the time that he could just wave the magic wand, he could snap his fingers, and everything would be done perfectly, and yet he chooses us to be a part of it. Another passage of scripture I want you to look at, and if you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. This is post-resurrection again. This is Jesus with his followers kind of mixed in with that part we just read in John chapter 20. The first part, starting in verse 13, we're not going to read that, but 13 to 35 is the story of the road to Emmaus, and there's these followers of Christ who are walking on this road going away from Jerusalem after the crucifixion, and they're talking about these things, and Jesus shows up and says, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" As if he didn't know. And they say, "You don't know, you haven't heard about this Jesus of Nazareth, let us tell you about him." And Jesus begins to unpack the scripture for them. Verse 27, it says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Then he breaks bread with them. They realize who he is, and he disappears. They run to Jerusalem, back to Jerusalem, go away from where they were heading, going back. And they go to the disciples meeting in this upper room. In verse 36, it says, "While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" Now, there might be that same story we just read. It might be intertwined. It might be a different appearance. We're not quite sure, but the timeline's a little different there. But he says, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he said to them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Kind of like he did on the road to Emmaus. But catch this, verse 45, it says, "Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures." He wasn't teaching them scriptures they didn't know. They knew it well. But it says he opened the scriptures so that they could understand. They took what they knew, and he gave them a new understanding of it. He told them, it said, and it goes on, it says, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised," the Holy Spirit he's talking about, "but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." The day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes upon them, and they go out and do the ministry that they've been called to do. It says that Jesus, once again, opened up the scriptures from the law of Moses to the prophets to the Psalms. He opened up all of the Old Testament scriptures, not to give them a lesson on this passage and a lesson on this passage, but to show them that all of scripture was written to help them understand what was now happening. That the Messiah had come. That he must suffer and die and rise from the dead, arise from the dead on the third day. And then repentance of sin for forgiveness would be the action that the people would go out and preach and teach and bring people to know the good news of what has happened. So Jesus took what they already knew and gave them a deeper understanding of it and said, "Did you understand that all of Genesis to Malachi, the whole Testament that they had, they didn't have the New Testament yet. Even though he gives the great commission to go and make disciples of all nations, that wasn't written until many years later. And yet the early church goes out in faith because he unpacked for them what the scriptures had foretold all this time. And he didn't just take those messianic passages of the Old Testament and say, "See, that talked about Jesus, that talked about me. That one talked about me, and that one talked about me, and that one talked about me." And see, there's five of them right there, talk about me. He took every aspect of the Old Testament and unpacked it for them. I don't know how long that took. I don't know how efficient of a teacher he was. I imagine pretty efficient. But he made it all very clear. And he drove them to understand what they already knew in a new way. Now for us, we've had the history. We've had the Old Testament and the New Testament. And sometimes we only look at the Old Testament to click off those boxes of the messianic prophecies that make our New Testament make sense. And yet we need to go back as we did when we did the story a few years back and make sense of every aspect of God as a redemptive God throughout all things. All of Scripture, the whole of Scripture shows God is a redemptive God who wants to return things to the way he meant for them to be. And he's going to pay the price ultimately to do it. Now he's asked us to be a part of that process with him. For us in this next year and the years to come, I hope we always are unpacking that. I hope we're always coming to a better understanding of what we already know. Last year when we left for the sabbatical, Tanya Labutis pulled together some notes and cards for many of you wrote, and they were very special, and I appreciate that. I think she meant for me to read one a day or one a week or something. I read them all the first hour I got them because I'm just, curiosity kills the cat, you know, and I read them all, and they were all very special. I read them multiple times during the sabbatical. But one person, one couple said in there, "We appreciate your ministry because you," and this is not, I'm not saying this because I'm proud of this. I'm saying this because this is what we're supposed to be doing. "You've helped us understand what we already knew differently." And they said specifically, "You have given us a new understanding, helped us to understand God's desire for us to love our neighbor like we never had before." And this is a family that's been rooted in the church for years. And I don't think they were missing anything before. I think they were just sharpened as they went. But they just said, "Thank you for opening our eyes." Well, I'm opening my eyes constantly. I'm not saying I was able to do that other than the fact that I struggle through it. This year coming up, we're going to spend a lot of time just looking at these things to help us understand the Scripture as a whole, help us understand God as a sent God, to reaffirm our sentness. And I just want to tell you real quickly kind of what we're going to be walking through. Starting next week, we're going to be looking at this. Our sermon series is going to be titled, "Your Mission If You Choose to Accept It." We're going to be answering the question of who are we and why do we exist? What is the church? What are the people of God and why do we exist? And I think we've talked about a lot of that already today, but we're going to answer some of those questions over the next number of weeks and months. We're going to go into November with that, and we're going to pick it up again in January and finish it off, and then we're going to just really focus on that, seeking to survey the Scripture to understand God's sent nature from beginning to end and our place in that. The Advent season, last week of November and the first three Sundays of December leading up to Christmas, our Advent series is going to be called Christmas Unwrapped, The True Gifts of Christmas. We're going to look at what we received with the incarnation of Christ, and that's going to be a good series. In February, after we finish the series on Your Mission, If You Choose to Accept It, we're going to go into a series on the Upper Room Discourse of Christ. This is John chapter 14 to 17. We're going to spend about 12, 13 weeks in just those three or four chapters. It's amazing chapters as Christ, in his last hours before his crucifixion, prepares his followers to be sent, promising the Holy Spirit, telling them what to expect, praying for them in the longest recorded prayer of Christ that we have. And we're going to walk through that to help us understand how he prepared his team to carry on in his absence. And then after that, after Easter, we're going to jump into a 6 or 8 week series on Jonah, going back to the Old Testament, this idea of a reluctant prophet and relentless grace. This guy called by God and yet sent and yet not wanting to go. We're going to look at what we can learn from that. All this we're going to do so we can truly understand that God's Scripture tells us that we are sent. The question that we have to answer for ourselves is, where am I sent to and for what purpose? There's a oodles of passages of Scripture speaking to the issue of what people are sent to do. There's lots of different missions in the Bible, but they all fall under God's big mission, this redemptive work of all things. I want to read you this quote. This is from Christopher Wright's book, a book that Pastor Dustin and I are using as kind of a jumping off point for our series this fall. But listen to this. He says, "The Bible tells us that God did send many people, but the range of things for which people were sent is staggeringly broad. Sending language is used in all the following stories. Joseph was sent to be in a position to save lives in a famine. Moses was sent, unwillingly at first, to deliver people from opposition and exploitation. Elijah was sent to influence the course of international politics. Jeremiah was sent to proclaim God's word. Jesus claimed the words of Isaiah that he was sent to preach good news, to proclaim freedom, to give sight for the blind and to offer release for the oppressed. The disciples were sent to preach and demonstrate the delivering and healing power of the reign of God. As apostles, they were sent to make disciples, baptize, and teach. Jesus sent them into the world in the same way that the Father had sent him, which raises a lot of interesting questions and challenges. Paul and Barnabas were sent with famine relief. Later, they were sent for evangelism and church planting. Titus was sent to ensure trustworthy and transparent financial administration. Later, he was sent for competent church administration. Apollos was sent as a skilled Bible teacher for church nurture. Many unnamed brothers and sisters were sent out as itinerant teachers for the sake of the truth of the gospel. So even if we agree that the concept of sending and being sent lies at the heart of mission, there's a broad range of biblically sanctioned activities that people may be sent by God to do, including famine relief, action for justice, preaching, evangelism, teaching, healing, and administration. Yet when we use the words missions and missionaries, we tend to think mainly of evangelistic activity. What will our biblical theology have to say to that? And our goal is to look at the whole of Scripture and come up with a biblical theology of being sent. And in this room, every one of you is sent somewhere and for something. Some of you, it's pretty clear. Some of you are struggling to know what that sent place is and for what purpose. You know, Topher, where'd Topher go? He works for Compassion International. It's easy. You got an easy sent. You're sent to do that and to help care for those orphans and children around the world who have such need. And we honor that. I was talking to Peter this morning. Peter works as a nurse in the ICU unit up at the U of A hospital. I can't question the fact that God has him there as a believer in Christ to bring hope in times of lack of hope. And I could go through the room and pick every one of you and say where you work and where you go to school, what you do, and say, God has put you there. God has put you there. Don't miss it. Pick up the task that he's put you there for. Just be ready for it. I'm not trying to put weight on Peter's shoulders. I'm not asking Peter to be different at work. I'm asking Peter to be a Christ follower at work. Just to bring the hope of the gospel, even just in a smile, if he can. In a silent prayer that he gives over a family that's struggling. For Topher, we want to pray for him and the work that he does. For every one of us going to work or going to school or going with our friends or wherever we go, we want to encourage one another in what we're called to do. And one thing I just want to end in, and this is how I ended a few weeks ago at the community service, so if you were there, you can turn your ears off now, but I hope not. I believe God wholeheartedly has placed us wherever he has placed us to live. In our neighborhoods, our homes, our apartment buildings, our condos, wherever he has placed us, that we might be a light where he's put us. And I want to just draw your attention to this. Hopefully you got one of these in your hands as you walked in. We ask every adult to get one of these things. And this is a note I put out to all of the churches in Leduc last week. You can read it for yourself, but the title is The Churches of Leduc, United in Christ in the Neighborhood and for the Church, or for the City. This year, for the Fall Food Drive, we're doing some things differently. I've talked about that a little bit. We are desiring not to send churches out to care for a neighborhood and seek food from a neighborhood for the Fall Food Drive that they're unconnected with. We are asking the church united in Leduc, across all different church boundaries, to work together in their own neighborhoods to collect food. And this gives you a lot of reasons why we're doing that. Plain and simple, we want to live out the light and the hope of the gospel as the United Church of Jesus Christ in Leduc. And folks, I need you to sign up. My neck is on the line for this, you know. If we don't get people in the neighborhoods, then I have a 2-week notice here that I have to pull and say we're going to do it the old way again. But my goal is that we can stand united as the Church of Jesus Christ and serve our community. At the same time, that we can get to know other Christians from other churches and be united in heart with them as we serve with them. And there's no better way to grow together than to serve together. At the same time, I would say it's a great way to invite your neighbors to join you. I think I shared it last week that we're inviting our neighbors on our cul-de-sac to come join us for the food drive. And I want them to come just because they're my friends, and I want them to help me serve our community. So it's a great way to increase the impact of our footprint, our touch, the church, can have such a huge impact if we work together and if we reach out to our neighbors to help work with us. It's amazing the breadth of how we will do that. So I want to encourage you to take this sheet, tuck it away in your Bible or in your pocket. And when you get home, on the back, there's a weird email address or a web address you can type in, and you can register what neighborhood you live in so we can put you with other people in your neighborhood. I'm going to give your name out whether you want me to or not. If you're in our hub, I'm going to say, I know the people in that neighborhood, and here's some. But it would help us if you sign up here. It would help us if you step up and be leaders in our community as we try to get the community church to work together to care for our greater community. And it's a great opportunity to do that. So please tuck that away, put it in your pocket, go home, register on there, and then you'll be getting an email in a week or two from whoever's coordinating your neighborhood about when you're going to gather, where you're going to gather, to do two things. One, the week before, to pass out bags so we can collect more food, hopefully. And two, to come that night, Monday, the 3rd of October, from 6 to 9, meet at a park somewhere in your neighborhood and head out with your neighbors to care for your neighborhood. So please, if you register, that would be wonderful. I would appreciate that. And I hope it opens the door for you for caring for your community in a new way as you work with other Christians to do so. This year, as we travel together, I hope very simply we know that we are sent people. I hope we are challenged to be sent with a more clear understanding of what it means to be sent. And I really hope, above all things, that we would open our eyes to where God has placed us, the needs that God has put around us, that our eyes would be open to those things, and that we would be about his work, not our own. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together. And Lord, I thank you for the seen and unseen blessings that exist in this room and in this community. Father, I thank you that you have called us to be about your business with you, that you've called us to be sent as you are sent, that Lord, even as Jesus was sent to this earth to pay the ultimate sacrifice, Lord, all the power that he held, all the resources that were available to him have been given to us through your Spirit, that we might continue that work. So, Father, I pray that we would understand what it means to be following disciples of Christ, that we would seek to follow you wholeheartedly, that we would understand the power of the gospel, and that we would seek to tell the story of the gospel in our own lives to those who need to hear it. Father, as we survey through the whole of Scripture this year, just a cursory look, I pray that we would understand you as a sent God more than we ever have. And that we would understand the Scriptures that we have known for maybe a long time in a new way. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.